See if I get adjusted here. It's only so many years, I think three times since we've been here, that Christmas has fallen on a Sunday, and that, of course, then New Year's would also fall on a Sunday. And I have probably preached this message before. I didn't go back and retrieve this, but as I prepared it, some of this sounded familiar to me. But it must be something that we need to hear again and again, because as I sat down, I really wanted to just kind of jump back into Psalms 23, kind of excited about a couple of things that comes up in that. And this really is an important factor in the consideration of Psalms 23 and understanding what God's saying to us as he's the shepherd and we're the sheep, if we're to live a sheep-like life, right, as followers of Christ, right, our shepherd. This is such an important factor, such an important truth. But I'm not going to go into Psalms 23. I sat down and I was just going to open up with a passage of scripture because it lent itself to the new year and something I've found to be an important dynamic in just living out my faith daily. And the Spirit of God just kept moving in that. And I'm like, well, okay, that'll be the message for today. And so we're going to get into this. I often stop and think about dynamics I'm experiencing in my life. And I go, I think other people experience these too. And so I ask God, I go, why is it like that? Why is it like that? Why do you do it this way? Why do you allow this tension in our lives? Why do we feel this at certain times or in certain seasons? Why am I more responsive or unresponsive during these times? And I put here because it's 2023 today. It's just funny to me, I'm younger than some of you. Maybe most of you, I don't know. But when I was a kid growing up, I watched movies like The Terminator and Back to the Future. And, these were the years that those movies were set in. And I thought, I'll never be there. And somehow, right, time marches on. And you find yourself in a more aged state experiencing a world you never thought could exist. And you go, how in the world did I get here? How in the world did I get here? Isn't it true that somehow we imagine that things will continue to go on just as they did? And then somehow we find ourselves living in a different world. I was looking, there is a passage of scripture, and it's probably in Proverbs. I couldn't find it, but it talks about those who imagine that the world will go on just as it is without change. And it talks about the stumbling stone that becomes in their life, because I just find it, right? We live our lives like it's never going to end, right? And you see that a lot in the world that we live in. People just living their lives like they're never going to end. You go, why are you doing that? Don't you know where that goes? What are you talking about? This is going to go on forever. And that's a deception that falls into our hearts when we become numb to what the Spirit of God is saying today, right? And so I find it very interesting. New Year's Day, or right around New Year's, I believe is probably one of the most influential days, one of the most challenging days of any day of the year. Some people would say Christmas Day is maybe the most impacting day of the year, and it people enjoy Christmas. We enjoy the things that come with it. We enjoy the upswing for most in the willingness to be kind and to give, and those are good things. But New Year's Day, I think, probably causes more people to stop and inspect the inside and the outside of their life than any other day. And I say that's why it makes it probably one of the most powerful days in the year. The other reason I say that is because it marks for every person the fact that you are not in control, because another year has just ticked off and you could do nothing to slow it or to stop it. And New Year's Day is a stark reminder of that every year for every person. Now, like it or not, right? That's the reality. And I want to look at a passage of scripture that has to do with this, because New Year's, I think for many people, causes many people to ask, what's important? Right? What's important? So I got a year that just went by. I feel like I did nothing with it. I succeeded amazingly. I failed astronomically. I don't know what your last year looked like. Maybe the worst kind of year is when you look and you go, I don't know what happened. Right? I don't know what happened. I took a beating, but I don't know what happened. Right? I don't know if it was good. I don't know if it was bad. I just made it to the end. Right? He who endures to the end will be saved. A lot of years like that, but nonetheless, people are looking and they're asking and they're going, what's important? Because I don't want to live another year like that. I want this year to be better, right? I want this year to be better. I don't know of anybody that got to New Year's and said, man, this last year was so good, it's all downhill from here. No, everybody gets to the end and they go, I want it to be better, right? I look back, oh man, why do you think people make resolutions? Look back and they go, that was not good. Like, I need to do it different over here. And so we want to know what's worth holding on to. We want to know what's best. We want to live it out, and everybody has different ideas, and we go, what's really important? So how about today, as we're considering these things, if we look at the things that are most important to God. Now, can I say that a year is made up of what? Made up of days. It's made up of 365 days. Can I tell you that a heart attack does not just happen on one day? It happens over a series of donuts. Right? And in our lives, I would say the same thing is true, that the great times or the bad times that many times we experience don't just happen in a day, but they're a series of days put together, and that's what a year is. And we've just ticked off 365 days from January 1st of 2022 to January 1st of 2023. And I want to know what's important to God, because I have another 365 days to get to the next one. When I get there, I'm going to stand and I'm going to look back and go, what happened? Right? What happened? What was good? What was bad? What am I going to do this year? Right? But that year is going to happen a day at a time. So let's look at this. Let's go to Psalms 90. Psalms 90. I want to look at some inner thoughts of one of the best-known writers of Scripture and what he penned about processing the passing of time in this life. So Psalms 90 was written by who? Moses. Moses. It's the only one that Moses wrote, but one of the best-known writers of Scripture, right? Wrote the Pentateuch or the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the lawgiver. Moses was played by who in the Ten Commandments? Charlton Heston, right? Famous. Moses is famous. So let's look at what Moses wrote about the passing of time. I've kind of pulled together a series of scriptures out of the text of Psalms 90, and so I'm going to verse 2, verse 4, verses 5 and 6, verse 10, verses 12 through 14. I'm going to read them. I've pulled some pieces out, but the context of what he's saying, I want to draw in. All of this goes together. Moses intersperses in here and reminds the people of Israel, reminds himself of their sin and how they've transgressed God in time. But Moses brings something out that I think is so important for us to grasp as sheep. So look at what he says in verse 2. Before the mountains were born, For you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. I want you to grasp as we go through this that Moses is talking about time, and he's going to give different vantage points on time. For 1,000 years in your sight, verse 4, or verse 4, 5, and 6 here. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass, which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Towards evening, it fades and withers away. Verse 10. As for the days of our lives, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Verses 12 through 14. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Let's take that, those passages, and unpack them a little bit. Moses is almost lamenting, right? He's looking at how we live, and he's considering. Moses is considering something. He's considering time. He's considering how we live. He's considering how culture herds us. He's considering how we value things. He's considering what people say is important. And he's going, how does this work in here? He's considering. He's talking to himself, and we hear it as a message to us, right, from the Spirit of God. And so let's look at what he's lamenting over. And Moses starts with something. He says, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses starts considering time by considering eternity, right? Eternity. And it's kind of funny because eternity knows no time. And what he says is that eternity is God's scale of how things happen. God laughs at time. He gave us time so we could measure things. But God knows no time, and time affects him not. Right? Eternity is God's. God operates in the realm of eternity. Isn't it funny how we try to gauge God's action in our life by time? Moses starts out and he says, oh God, eternity is yours. I think it's so funny. You movies and even people, I mean, people looking for the fountain of youth and wanting to live forever, I go, what is wrong with you? Like, I want to live forever when I get to heaven, but not here, right? Because eternity is God's, and I will not know eternity until I step into it. I cannot comprehend eternity in the space of time. And I have to understand that that's where God operates, right? We try to make these boxes for God that fit inside of time, and then we don't understand why things don't work. Because God operates in eternity. And Moses says that, before any of this, you were, right? This is where you dwell, that's yours. And so that belongs to you, we'll let it belong to you. It's the scope of eternity, though, is the backdrop for the next statement. So in verse 4, 5, and 6, Moses holds up another segment of time, which is a what? A millennia. He holds up a millennia, thousands of years, millennia on millennia, and eternity is the backdrop for what a millennia is. Look at what Moses says. For 1,000 years, a millennia in your sight is like yesterday when it passes by, or a watch in the night. Moses says, 1,000 years is nothing to you. It's nothing to you. To me, like, nobody's ever lived that long. Like, there's some that came close. Old Methuselah, you know, he was only 31 years short. But he didn't make it a millennium. And yet, Moses says, man, God, 1,000 years in your sight's like a day. Sometimes it's just funny because we're always looking off into the future and we think maybe the important things are off in the future. Moses says God contains eternity and a day is nothing to him. 1,000 years really isn't that important if you don't get how you got there, right? Moses says, yeah, 1,000 years. He moves on. Moses then ponders how easily the years flow by unhindered and totally out of the control of any person, right? You swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep in the morning. They're like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Towards evening, it fades away and withers. Moses said, listen, look how easily time flows. Look how quickly it goes. Look how elusive it is. Look how, don't we say that? The older we get, the faster time goes. Hey, Moses, who knows how old he was when he wrote this, but he's going, listen, time moves by quickly. Moses is musing. He's trying to figure out what's important. Well, God, you own eternity. I'm not going to live 1,000 years in you. Like, God, time doesn't contain you. That's like a day to you. And this time goes by so quickly. And then Moses brings in another perspective of time. Down the chain of the limited and the finite, Moses squares off with the length of a person's life. What's he say? 70, maybe 80 years, if you're strong, right? From eternity to a millennia, how fast it passes to, man, like I'm going to make it. Well, Moses made it longer than that. He went 100, at least 120, right? Before he disappeared. So God took him even farther than that. But in the scope of eternity, it's nothing. And Moses still is going, what's important? This is kind of reminiscent of Solomon's, you know, looking at life. Solomon says it's all what? It's all vanity. It's all vanity, right? All this stuff we chase after, all this stuff we build up. Time goes by. Nobody can stop it. We're all going to die. What a great message for New Year's Day. I love this. 70, 80 years, Moses considers it. And finally, he's boiling it down. Moses is boiling it down, right? Have you ever cooked something where in the recipe it said you needed to boil this down and make a concentrate? What do they call that? A what? There's another word. Yeah, you're reducing something down. He's reducing it down. Why? Because Moses wants to know what's important. He's thinking about what's important. He's trying to get it down to, you know, he's considering God and now he's considering himself and he's going, what's important and how am I going to live? You know, he says, you get 70 or 80 of these days, New Year's days. I jokingly, if you've ever gotten a birthday card from me, you may have seen written in your card, congratulations on your annual renewal. Okay? That's just who I am, right? Congratulations on your annual renewal. You get 70 or 80 of them, Moses says. He's just considering. Well, Moses finally brings the funnel of time to a sharp point in verse 12, and he weighs out the value of today. Verse 12 and verse 14, look at what he says. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Verse 14 says, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. The God who possesses eternity, who laughs at time and its passing because it does not affect him, this God views today as the most important day in the scope of eternity. That's the conclusion that Moses comes to. He goes, I can consider all of this. I can consider eternity in thousands of years and my life that is going to go on forever. How long? But he goes, if I am going to see this next year be better than this year, then I have to come to the realization that the most important day that I will live in this next year is today. This is the most important day to God in the history of the world. You want to know why? Because this is where he's working. He's not, yesterday's gone. You don't have tomorrow. Matter of fact, you're not even promised tomorrow. You are in today. And Moses boils this down and he says this, satisfy us when? In the morning. What's the morning? That's the beginning of the day. Why? That we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. The value of today positions you for tomorrow. Today is the most important day. And as a sheep, right, I'm just going to kind of reference that here. The sheep don't think about tomorrow. Now, again, I'm going to be quoted to say, and I don't believe in planning, but can I say that if the prime mover of your life is your ability to plan for tomorrow, then you're going to end up in the wrong place. Because the prime mover of our lives has to be a dependence upon God today. And this is what Moses said. He said, the greatest day is today. When I consider eternity and millennia and my lifetime, the most important thing that I need to pay attention to is today. Now, there's other things that are going to fall in today, right? And I am going to look to the future today. But as I do that, I'm holding it with the value of what I hear from the shepherd today. And if today you change my direction, I will follow. Even if it goes against my best planning for the future, because today is the most important day. Teach us to value today that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. We're going to come back to that, but I want to move on for a second. I want to look at the landing pad for Moses' consideration. He says, fix your eyes on God today, at the beginning of the day, because that is how we sing for joy in all of our days we are entrusted with. How is this year going to look different from last year? God, help me to value today, each day, that I may sing for joy all of my days. Right? What makes it a good day? God, that I looked for you in it. That's what makes it a good day. You know, this thought has just been rolling around in my heart. I haven't attached it to a lot yet, but do you know that we are the only people in the world who are offered hope outside of our external circumstances? Where do you find hope? Today. Hope is not tomorrow. Hope is present tense. Right? This is a message of hope. How will we ever come to know hope if we're always living out there someplace? And we're tripping over and missing today. I want to get to this because God brings me back to this and he convicts me of this. I like to look out there. I like to dream. I like to think. And I look at what's going on today and I go, huh, God, if this keeps happening, this is heading for a train wreck. And God goes, why? Well, because that's what I can see. And he goes, yeah, but what about what you can't see? What about what I'm doing that you can't see? Are you going to lean on your own understanding and miss what I'm doing today for the sake of what you think needs to happen tomorrow or the next day or 10 years from now? Because today is the most important day. And if you will learn to value today, then you will present to me a heart of wisdom. Right? Let's look at this a little bit. In God's economy, or in his pasture, if we were to hold to our current theme, today is the most important day in all of eternity because today is where God's working. Do you know what makes something holy? You should know this. You should know this. In my life, God, I had a moment with God one day down by the river. It was in the spring. I was walking the dog, had my snowshoes on, and the sun came out. I hadn't seen the sun in months. And it just came down on one spot in the bank. It's like it was coming through the clouds. And I walked over there and I stood there and I just started to cry. I'm like, oh God, I don't know if I haven't seen the sun in that long, but I just felt God smiling right there, right? You ever had one of those moments just out of the blue and the dog's looking at me like, what is wrong with you? Like, I'm bawling. The dog's like, So I got done and I left, you know, and I walked back by that place the next time and I stopped, you know, kind of hoping, hey, maybe this will happen again. And actually, while I was there in that spot, I just kind of had one of those Moses burning bush moments. I just felt like I should take my snowshoes off. I wasn't taking my boots off. It was cold and I was in the snow. I took my snowshoes off and I stood there. So anyway, I went back by there a couple of days and I walked back over and I stood there. And it was almost like God laughed. He goes, Brent, he goes, you got to know the difference between the sacred and the holy. Sacred is something that's valuable to you because something valuable happened there. That's sacred to you. But he goes, holy only happens because I'm there. That's what makes it holy, is my presence. So it's a holy place when I'm there. It's just sacred to you after that. Right? You need to know that. You need to know that because sometimes in our lives, we treat things like they're holy when really they're just sacred. Yeah, God was there at one time. He's not there anymore. Move on. Come on. You can value it. Something happened, but it's not holy ground anymore because God has moved on. Right? Isn't that what keeps us from valuing today sometime? We're stuck with what happened back here and we cease to move with God where he is and now we're just standing on sacred ground and it's holy someplace else. Today is the most important day because this is where God's moving. So I want to step back into the passage just a little bit and I want to draw on an earlier thought that Moses set out about presenting to God a heart of wisdom. Handling today as the most important day in eternity will train us in presenting a heart saturated with wisdom to the God of eternity. Now, when I hear the word wisdom, I got to go back in scripture and I've got to ask, because it's a scripture that has always jumped out at me. I've totally not got a grasp on the whole thing, but God keeps bringing it back and teaching me with it. So what is the beginning of wisdom? If we're going to have a heart of wisdom, it has a beginning, right? And scripture teaches us clearly the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Now, let's put together what Moses said and what it says. Well, Proverbs 9:10, let me read it for you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I want you to remember all of that because we're going to find another passage of scripture that talks about the understanding. The fear of the Lord, and which is not just a cringing, oh, God's going to squish me. I mean, certainly it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Scripture says that. But the fear of the Lord has so much to do with our awe and reverence. It's to stand and behold one who is so far beyond who we are, and all we can say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Right? It's the fear of the Lord. It's a heart of awe and reverence. And scripture says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Like, you cannot truly possess wisdom without the fear of the Lord. And so Moses says, if we learn to handle today, if we learn to treat today as the most important day, Lord, teach us to number our days and understand the importance of each day. He goes, when we do that, we will present a heart of wisdom to the Lord. Is that not to say that to treat today as the most important day that God has given us is to practice the fear of the Lord? And people, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, I don't know all of it. But I know this, that Scripture clearly says that when I look at the day and I go, God, you have entrusted me with this day. You have stewarded me this day. And I am looking to you early to see which way you are going and to see where the shepherd is standing, because where you are is where I want to be. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world is doing if they're not where you are. That is the fear of the Lord, friend. And he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is really the substance of what Paul says to the Romans in chapter 12, offer yourselves a living sacrifice so that you may know what the good and perfect will of the Lord is. Right? The fear of the Lord. Today, more and more in my prayer time, I realize that God has prepared the day and we must just receive it from him like a gift. God, I receive the day that you have prepared for me with all of its circumstances, because you are well able and you are leading and you are my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want, no matter what comes in this day, I receive it from you. And this is the most important day. And God, my goal is to walk with you today and to end this day where you have planned for me to end, and to do in this day what you have planned for me to do. And yes, I have plans, but I hold them lightly in light of who you are and what you're doing, because I don't totally understand it. See, this isn't based on a total understanding. It's based on dependence. Well, I want to understand before I move. No, just be dependent. God, I need you. You know, that's what rolls around in my heart most of the day. I'm going, God, what am I doing? What am I doing? Should I stand over here and just bang my head on the wall? Should I go walk in circles some more? God, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't get it. But I'm listening. I'm listening. So I'm going to go do, right? I've got these things. I think I need to do these things. I'm going to go do these things. I need to go to work. I need to provide for my family. I have some dreams in my heart. But all of this is subject to your hand on my life. And if you touch me or you speak to me and I hear your voice, God, I'm going to turn today, because today is the most important day. And there's nothing good for me outside of your will, right? It's not the picture of a person who sits and waits until they hear something. We have to move, we have to go, but are you conscious of the shepherd and what he's saying? Because today is the most important day, right? Are you getting it? What's the most important day? And today, all right. This is an insight from Moses in how to live in the awe and reverence of God. And a set of reins that everyone can put their hands on. Practice the importance of today in the kingdom of the eternal. We live in a culture that applauds people who are reaching out into the future while they trip over today and treat today with contempt if it's not contributing to their future plans. Man, our culture pressures that one hard. What's your 5-year plan? It's not bad to have a 5-year plan unless your 5-year plan is more important than valuing today. Because people trip over today all the time. Yeah, I'll spend time with them tomorrow. I've got to do this today. Yeah, but what if today is the day? We trip over today. I'm going to do whatever I need to do today to get to there. And God says, you're a fool. You're a fool because I created today and I am in today and I may not be in that future. Isn't that what James says? He says, it's a sin for you to say, we're going to go here and we're going to do this and we're going to make money and we're going to do that. Shouldn't you instead say, if God's there, we'll go there? Right? He says, why don't you learn to live today? Right? Because if you can't live today, you can't even get there. Today is the most important day. And we live in a society and a culture that despises today for the sake of the future. You can come beat me if you want after service. I'm not coming down on anybody, but isn't it true, right, that so many people that I know have spent their life to get to retirement to die? What about today? Today is the most important day. Not out there when you think you got it all put together and you can relax, then I'll do something for God. No, you won't. Retired people are the busiest people I know, if they live. Today is the most important day. Today. Do you see what is beautiful and appropriate today, those things that God has set and made ready for you today? Or is today just fuel to be burned in the furnace of future arrivals and destinations? Today. It's not given to us to burn for the future. It's given to us for today because this is where God is and this is where he's working and this is the most important day. And there will be a string of 365 of these put together that take us to the next new year when we consider what really happened. And what really happened happened one day at a time. I can't remember the gal's name that wrote the song, but a lot of times when I'm over walking, I start singing, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Lord, give me the strength to do every day what I need to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, show me your way. Show me today one day at a time. I didn't sing all the words right, but you get the gist of it. She was on to something, right? Somebody who had had fame and fortune and saw where it led and came to that simple truth. God, today is the most important day. Show me today. Do you value today? Do you anticipate today? You know, I dread a lot of today's. But when I can come before God and go, God, you created this day, you've prepared it for me, I receive it from you. I'm not receiving it from the world, not receiving it from the workplace, not receiving it from the marketplace, not receiving it from the stock market. Receiving it from you. You've made this day, and this day is holy to you, the most important day in all of eternity because you stand here with me. Will you lead me, shepherd? I'm your sheep. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Today. And what happens when we live? We'll sing for joy all of our days. All of our days. Do you know that joy happens when you look into somebody's eyes and you can see the look in their eyes that says, I'm glad to be here with you? Do you know God has that look for you today? It's not waiting for tomorrow. It's today. I think that's why he says early, I will praise you. Early I will stand and I will look in your face and I will receive today from you so that I can sing for joy because joy comes knowing that you are glad to be here with me. I'm not going to know you're glad to be with me when my plans have been completed. You're glad to be with me today. Today. It's not a direct quote from Scripture, but one could certainly build a case for this statement. The fool says in his heart, just the sacrifice of one more day. Living like there is no God who created that day for his glory. First time I ever remember hearing this passage of Scripture was actually Jeremy Adams had brought it one day. And it just like says this so well. Proverbs 17:24. Now listen to this. We've been talking about all of this. Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding. Remember what Proverbs 9:10 said? It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is like, this is the day that's most valuable to him. So here, wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. Ooh. The Bible calls the guy that doesn't value today a fool. Wow. Wow. No wonder Moses is pondering on this. The most valuable day is today. What God is doing, he's doing today. Hebrews 4:7. Listen to what it says. And he fixed a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as had been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, I don't want to fall into proof texting. You know what proof texting is? Proof texting is where you take a passage of scripture and you use it to prove your point, even though it's out of context. Right? I don't want to do that. I don't want to proof text. So I want to give you the context. The passage contrasts those who will enter God's rest and those who will live in a hard-hearted state of disobedience. Okay, that's what this passage is talking about, and he's talking about today, and he's talking about entering God's rest because God has finished his work, and so he rested, and he said those who lived in disobedience didn't enter his rest, but he says the place that you enter his rest or the place that you choose to live in hard-hearted disobedience is when? Today. Today is the day. How many times have we reasoned with God and said, you know what, God, a month from now, I'm going to do that. Okay, there's 30 wasted days. 31, 28, whatever month you're in, I don't know. And God says, no, no. Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding. Today is the most important day. So today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart by looking out there. Respond today. We're going to get to another passage because today is the day of salvation. So interesting, Psalms 118, that Tion read today, is speaking of a specific day that God created when salvation came to us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Speaking about the day of salvation, the day Christ would come and offer himself for our sins and die. But in Hebrews, it says that today is the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How do we be glad in this day? How do we find joy in this day? By understanding this is the most important day to God. And God, here I am. Have your way in me. Lead me. Show me your way. God, if I hear you specifically, I'll move. But if I don't, I'm going to live with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength to love you and to honor you and to graciously reflect your character in this day. Now, in the context of our study in Psalms 23, if I were to live like a sheep who has a shepherd, then what would the most important day be? It would be today. Today, right? The most important day is today. It's very sheep-like to be most concerned with the shepherd and where he is today. Sheep aren't overly concerned with tomorrow in the grand scheme of things. They live and allow that type of weight to belong to the shepherd. Now that statement as I wrote it resonated with me from another passage of scripture, which is Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. Notice all of the references to time that Jesus gives and where he places the importance. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive when? Today. Today. Are you alive today? Today is the most important day. But if he clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? When you start worrying about those things, where do you begin to look? Tomorrow. You begin to look into the future. You begin to, how am I going to do it out there? Okay, it's a secondary question. How about make the most important question, how am I going to live today? Because we get on in this and we get a promise. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. This is how they live. This is how those guys live. They're always looking in the future. They're always trying to figure it out, right? They don't understand that I don't operate in this minuscule thing called time. I operate in eternity. And I'm doing things today that you can't even imagine. Do you want to be where I am? But David prayed, Lord, give us a heart, sustain us with a heart that's willing to be where you are today. He goes, don't eagerly seek all those things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need those things. But seek first. Now, if you're going to do it first, you got to do it today. You can't do it tomorrow. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Anybody remember my definition of righteousness? Oh my goodness. Hi. It's okay, I'm going to teach you again, but here it is. Righteousness in any matter under consideration is how God sees it. That's righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and how he sees it. And all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, God, it's going to take all of the dependence I can supply and all of the grace that you can supply to get through today. Anybody there? Oh my goodness. Like, God, if I can just make it through today. Like, do you have a truck that could just hit me at full speed? Come on, God, get me out of here. Help me today. I can't wait to get to tomorrow. Why? Tomorrow has troubles sufficient for itself. Just like today. Today's the most important day. You know why? That's why I made that statement. We are the only people on earth who have a hope that is not dependent on our external circumstances. Are you finding it daily? And it's as simple as asking and going, God, I need to be dependent on you today. Lead me. God, I know I've been dependent on myself. I know I thought I was pretty smart. I know I thought I planned things out pretty well. But everything I've done can be gone like that. So, you want to know why people kill themselves? Because they look in the future and they plan and they begin to put something together and all of a sudden it's gone or it doesn't work out the way they thought and all of their hope is gone. And they go, life's not worth living. No, it is worth living, but you have to live it today. It's alive today. Look to God today. Don't sacrifice today on the altar of selfish ambition for the carrot that the devil's dangling 5 years out there. Because you probably aren't going to get the carrot. What's he saying today? Today is holy. Don't sacrifice one more day on somebody else's altar. Hold it as something holy that you've been entrusted with and say, God, what are you saying today? If you speak to me, God, specifically, I will follow. But even if you don't, God, I want to graciously reflect who you are in this world as best as I can by the enablement of your spirit within me, by the power of your grace, dependent upon your mercy. God, I want to live a sheep-like life because today is the most important day. Then I'm well of where the tidal force wave exerted by our society, which manifests in our hearts as the fear of missing out. And we spent a lot of time on this. Jesus addresses the fear of missing out. And that last goes, don't worry about this stuff. Right? You're not going to miss out if you treat today as the most important day. But there is this fear of missing out. And that's why, oh my goodness, if I don't do something today, somebody's going to take what's mine in the future. Let me tell you something. If God hadn't given it to you, you can't have it anyway. Not really. It's not yours if you haven't been stewarded with it. So if you receive from him every day what he has stewarded you with, you will possess everything he has for you. He goes, don't live like the Gentiles. Don't worry about this stuff. My Father knows that you need it, and he'll make sure that you're taken care of. But you seek first today my kingdom. Live like sheep. Live like sheep. Possibly the greatest contributing influencer, the fear of missing out, is possibly the greatest contributing influencer to the pandemic of days being sacrificed on the altar of selfish ambition. James says, where there is selfish ambition, he says, you'll find everything evil. He says, it's actually demonic. But it's the altar that so many of our days get sacrificed on because we treat them with contempt for something that's promised in the future. And we don't even know if God's there. It just looks good. God says, oh, turn away from that. There's no wisdom in that. Present to me a heart of wisdom and rejoice in all your days. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days and to present to you a heart of wisdom. The vaccine for this pandemic is too simple for many, and it's too complicated for some, and pure absurdity to those who base truth on desired results. Look at what James says. James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, to whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And I will say that all of those gifts come down in a package called today. God, what have you entrusted me with today? What have you bestowed on me today? The allure of tomorrow and the future and having this, and I compare myself with this person and I see they have this, and this is what they're doing, and this is what they're doing. Who cares? Who cares? Jesus looks at Peter. He's telling Peter, he goes, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, oh Lord, you know I love you. Blah, blah, blah. And he says, follow me, follow me, follow me. Jesus tells him, follow me. Where do you follow him? Where can you follow God? You can only follow him today. Where's the only place you can be obedient to God? Today. And so he tells Peter all this stuff, and Peter looks at Jesus and he goes, but what about John? Because somebody had said that John was going to live forever. Right? That was the rumor floating around. Peter says, what about John? Jesus says, that's none of your business. If I want him to live forever, that's up to me. You follow me today. Because today is the most important day. The God of eternity says today is the day of salvation. Today is the holy day. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. One more passage of scripture I'll read to you because I had quoted it, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And it says, in working together with him, we also urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Listen to this. Listen to this. How do we receive God's grace in vain? For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It was, don't receive God's grace in vain. When does God's grace come to you? Today. It's not something that happened 20 years ago when you prayed the prayer. It's a daily happening. Paul says, don't receive God's grace in vain. Today is the day of salvation. Today you need transformation. Today you need renewed. Today I have appointments for you. Don't you dare sacrifice today on the altar of selfish ambition to have a deceived promise of something in the future. Isn't that exactly what Satan tried to do with Jesus? If you will bow down to me today, I will give you all of this tomorrow. Whoo! What a temptation we face. The devil hasn't changed his tactics. He just says it a little different. You know, if you just bow down to me one more day, just give me a couple of more days and you'll have what you want.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Today, in this new year, it's so simple. I say all this, and I could have just asked this and let you go a half hour ago. When you get up in the morning, I practice this. I come here. I come here and I walk. One, you know, I'll give you just a little insight into my prayer life. It's not much, right? It's not fancy. If you heard me pray, you'd probably wonder what God's thinking. But I come here and I pray not because I'm trying to get God on my side, not because I'm trying to work something up, not because I'm trying to feel good, but here's what I realize, that God has already sanctified a time and prepared it for me to come, and what I need to do is I need to come and receive it. Okay? He's already got it. He's already set it aside. He's already made it holy. He's already there waiting. He just says, just come. Will you just come and receive it? You don't have to work it up. You don't have to make it flowery. You don't even have to feel anything. Just come and be with me because I've prepared this place for you. So I come and I pray. But in that time, I've found that the same dynamic holds for the day. God is saying, listen, this is the doorway into your day. This is the gateway into your day. Just receive your day from me here. And look at it and say, this is the day, God, that you have made. God, I receive your mercies for today. I receive your grace for today. And I receive the circumstances of today. I do a lot less mumbling when I accept the circumstance and go, God, I don't like that. You know I don't like that. But I receive it from your hand, knowing that you are well able to accomplish what you want to do in this day, and you have made provision for everything that I will face. So I accept it from you today, and I treat it like holy, and God, lead me through this day. Let me honor you in this day, and may I be standing poised at the end of this day for tomorrow. Because if I live like that, when I get to the end of the 365th tick of this year, I will be singing for joy for all of my days. Presenting to God a heart of wisdom. Why? Teach us, O Lord, right? This is the prayer. Teach us, O Lord, to know the value of each day, because each day is the most important day to you. Father, we thank you for your working. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your great kindness to us, that you come daily. You said you would never leave us. You would never forsake us. That's a daily statement. We ask that you would lead us in knowing the value of the day. God, I pray that it would burn in our hearts, that we would practice the fear of the Lord on a daily basis, that would lead to wisdom and a heart of understanding. God, that wisdom would be in our presence. God, that our eyes wouldn't be as the fool's, who's on the end of the earth. But our eyes would be before us today, looking for what you're doing, desiring to be where you are and what you're doing, the things that are holy, because you're there. Show us your way, so we can walk with you. Father, we thank you again, God, for your word to us concerning these things. God, we pray that the character and the nature of a sheep would be formed in us to follow the shepherd. As the psalmist said, when we follow you, there's nothing we lack, being in your presence with you day by day. Thank you for all of these things. God, lead us into this new year. Lead us into this new year one day at a time. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've got Cerise. We brought in an espresso machine last night for our party. So there we have